name is Emily Hines, and I attend Houston City Council meetings and take notes. Today's notes are from the council meeting on December 17th, 2025. I will not cover the pop-off in these notes, but it did happen, and it was also Councilmember Plummer's last meeting. She made some heartfelt remarks during pop-off about her time on council and thanked her colleagues for their support. The mayor and many councilmembers thanked her, praised her efforts, and wished her well. Now, the mayor's report. Mayor Whitmire commented on the life and legacy of two recently deceased Houston public figures, Dr. Rod Page and Dave Ward. He outlined several of their respective achievements, shared details about their memorial services, and offered condolences to their loved ones. Now, some agenda items. Item 2 approved the creation of a banner district in Houston's design district. Councilmember Kamen said this has been a decade-long initiative, which will provide beautification and boost economic development. They are pursuing a similar measure in Montrose. Item 11 approved $323,000 for a new radio system for HPD that allows for better situational awareness and communication during critical incidents needing bomb squad response. Item 16 would have approved $180 million for the purchase of vehicles over 3 years, but it was tagged by Councilmember Kamen. The mayor and chief procurement officer explained how many vehicles are in the city's fleet, why so many need replacement so often, and that this is a new purchasing system recommended from the Ernst & Young efficiency report that will save the city money despite the large price tag on this particular item. But despite all that, this item is on hold until the new year because of the tag. Item 18 approved a resolution opposing the proposed Scarborough Lane development in Montgomery County. Councilmember Flickinger explained flooding concerns due to developing in a floodplain, and he appreciated his colleague's support. Councilmembers Huffman and Ramirez supported this item, but pointed out it won't prevent the development. Item 25 ordered a special election on April 4th for the District C council seat, as Councilmember Kamen is resigning her seat to run for Harris County District Attorney. These items were not voted on for various reasons. Item 12 was tagged by Councilmembers Kamen and Peck, which I will explain further on. Item 16 was tagged by Councilmember Kamen. Item 20 was not received. Items 37 and 47 were both pulled by the administration. So now I'll go over item 12 in more detail, which deals with using a stormwater fund to pay for building demolition. An iteration of today's item 12 first showed up on October 29th as item 18, which proposed increasing a $600,000 contract by $50 million for two companies. They were called Honesty Environmental Services and Fern Environmental. And this contract was for environmental services for Houston Public Works. It also used the Stormwater Fund. According to a memo distributed to council ahead of today's meeting, the controller's office declined to certify the original proposal because it violated the law. An iteration of this item was on every agenda since October 29th, with the exception of December 2nd, and the controller did not certify any of them, which means the council could not vote on them. Today's item 12 altered that original item. It proposed spending $30 million through January 2027 for three companies, and please pardon the details, but I am going to list them out: Brown & Root Industrial Services, HCG Management, / Honesty Construction Group, and Intercon Environmental Inc. And this contract is to do construction, asbestos abatement, and demolition services for dangerous buildings throughout the city. My eye was drawn to the similarity between Honesty Construction Group and Honesty Environmental Services, and this contract would still use the Stormwater Fund. Councilmember Pollard referenced the controller's memo, which said, "This item misuses the Stormwater Fund and attempts to bypass the legally required oversight of the controller's office." The memo also drew parallels to the years-long and recently resolved Dedicated Drainage and Street Renewal Fund lawsuit, and I'll put a link in the resources so you can read more about that. I'm also going to call this lawsuit the DDSRF lawsuit from here on out. Pollard said, quote, "I think we are overstepping our bounds on what the Stormwater Fund's intended purpose truly was. I don't see where the nexus is between maintaining our drainage system and demolishing a building," end quote. Mayor Whitmire said demolishing dangerous buildings is a high priority. He said the item has been thoroughly vetted and has precedent, although he did not give an example. Councilmember Castex Tatum remarked on the importance of demolishing dangerous buildings, of which there are many. She mentioned a budget amendment that allocated $25 million of stormwater funding for building demolition, and she expressed concern about using money inappropriately. she asked Houston Public Works Director Randy Mackay to explain. Director Mackay explained that abandoned buildings are magnets for illegal dumping, which sends debris into ditches and storm drains. Regarding funding, Mackay said the Building Inspection Fund usually manages demolition cases, but on a much smaller scale, which has caused a backlog. He assured council that Houston Public Works would find a direct nexus into the stormwater system, and he said the root cause of illegal dumping is that we have places like this where we invite people to put it there. Pollard told Director Mackay, quote, "You're a trained lawyer, and you're a really good lawyer, and I know you're trying to make your case, but what you're describing is illegal dumping." He said the intended purpose of the Stormwater Fund is to maintain the drainage system infrastructure. Pollard pointed to the DDSRF lawsuit, where the city was using dedicated money that was for a specific intended purpose, and Pollard said they were putting their own spin to it. He called Mackay's justification a stretch. Mayor Whitmire praised Director Mackay and encouraged council to consider abandoned buildings the root cause of drainage problems. He said, quote, "The public's not going to question. They just want to get it done. We've used this fund for this purpose before. The people I visit with are not going to ask you about which fund. They're going to ask you, did you demolish these dangerous buildings that are contributing to our drainage?" End quote. Councilmember Castix Tatum asked how Houston Public Works will determine which buildings are eligible to use the Stormwater Fund. Director Mackay said there's a very thorough and rigorous inspection, including photographic evidence, and if nothing is impacting the drainage system, Public Works will use the Building Inspection Fund instead. Castix Tatum also asked about parallels to the DDSRF lawsuit, and Mackay said that lawsuit and the Stormwater Fund are like apples and oranges. He then deferred to City Attorney Arturo Michel. Attorney Michel said he is fully confident that this is legal. He encouraged council members to let intent, or the perceived intent, guide their vote, and he went into some legalese that is above my pay grade. He said the controller's caution of a DDSRF-style lawsuit is a red herring, and that council is given considerable deference in terms of what its ordinances mean. He said the attorney general, except in rare circumstances that don't apply here, will not opine on the legality of a city ordinance because of the deference given to city council. Councilmember Alcorn said the city heeded legal advice regarding the DDSRF that later turned out to be wrong. She agrees that illegal dumping at abandoned buildings contributes to drainage problems, but said it's a flimsy argument to use the Stormwater Fund for demolition. She advocated for separating demolition from the item and said she would support it then. Mayor Whitmire encouraged her to trust the person we put in charge, aka Mackay, and he said, what would be a better use for the Stormwater Fund than to eliminate what is causing the drainage problem? Councilmember Kamen empathized with the problem of blighted and dangerous buildings, but said they still need to follow their own laws. She said, quote, "We have gotten legal advice in the past, and then we've been sued as a city, and we've lost because of that misinterpretation." She read from the Stormwater Fund ordinance, which is specific about what it can be spent on and does not include building demolition. She argued that blight will continue to get worse because the city is not spending money on the root cause of flooding, which will lead to more buildings destroyed and ultimately abandoned. She expressed concern about the process of this item. She said it was submitted to the controller's office, the controller's office raised issues, and then we circumvented and just found a way to put this on the agenda. Mayor Whitmire continued to defend the item and its legality. He said the demolition of unsafe buildings is one of Houston's number one concerns. He added that council voted to include this funding in the budget and came and replied, just because something was in the budget does not mean it's a rubber stamp to circumvent the rule. Councilmember Plummer argued that abandoned buildings are a public safety issue, not just a drainage one, and she said that people do want to know how the city is spending money right now, especially after the DDSRF lawsuit. Councilmember Thomas questioned Public Works' capacity to pursue code enforcement, which would guide which buildings even qualify. Director Mackay denied capacity problems, said they are actually aggressively hiring. Councilmember Thomas said the public is watching, and this is a hard ask. She recalled people coming to council during budget cycles to demand investment in neighborhoods and complaining of flooding, and she wanted more time for discussion. Councilmember Ramirez said that a large portion of the population thinks the city misuses funds. He and Councilmember Castillo asked if there is a written criteria for what buildings will qualify. Mackay explained the inspection process again, but the short answer was no. It's a judgment call and there is no written criteria. But Mackay did say they are careful because they don't want to expose the city to risk. Councilmember Davis referenced the controller's memo, and he was concerned about the administration circumventing the process and misusing funds. He asked Mackay about other ideas that wouldn't use the Stormwater Fund. Mackay claimed that doing things any other way would drive up costs and slow things down. He said the building inspection fund is stretched thin and suggested if the city uses it for more, inspection fees will need to go up. Several council members did support, like Councilmember Carter, who said that demolition of buildings that contribute to drainage is just the cost of doing business, and Councilmember Evan Shabazz, who remarked on dangerous empty buildings and impervious ground material like concrete. Councilmember Jackson said her constituents just want buildings to come down, and she said, quote, sometimes you have to take the money for the light bill to pay the gas bill. And Councilmember Flickinger, who agreed it was a stretch, but not too much of a stretch. There was some discussion of sending this to the Budget and Fiscal Affairs Committee, but ultimately council members came in and Peck tagged the item, so it is on hold until the new year. And that was the Houston City Council meeting on December 17th, 2025. You can find the resources I used to compile these notes on my website, emilytakesnotes.com, and that is also where the notes themselves live, if you decide you would rather read than listen. I'd like to thank our Patreon supporters. We use that money to keep this podcast edition of The Notes afloat. That link is patreon.com/EmilyTakesNotes if anyone listening would like to help us with that effort. This podcast was recorded by and has music by Joe Wozni. It was produced by Connor Clifton. And that's it for this week. I am Emily Hines, and I thank you for listening.